more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, is live and Lansing with Michael Cohen and the Capital City Recap.
Good evening. It is Friday. I'm Michael Cohen, producer Solomon Martin, 1320 WILS. The sun is out slightly, but mostly cloudy, 46 right now. Tonight, we'll hear from conservatives and doctors who say that the plan that's been presented, the American Healthcare Act to reform healthcare in America, could actually lead us to a single-payer system. We'll find out why that'll happen. Also, North Korea today claiming that the CIA attempted to assassinate their leader, Kim Jong-un. There is an expert in the country, in the U.S., who knows all about Kim Jong-un, and he will be here to tell us how the power structure there operates and what it would mean if we actually did assassinate him, if that would somehow resolve things. And we'll also be talking about plastic surgery. You know, more and more men are now getting Botox. Why is that? And what other procedures are they putting themselves through? We'll hear all about it. Let's begin, though, with what's happening here. The reaction, let's get reaction to the healthcare plan that was passed by the House yesterday. Dr. Kevin Wade Casey is with us. He's a physician, a health insurance expert. His book is The Guide to Buying Health Insurance and Healthcare. Dr. Wade Casey, great to have you on WILS.
Hey, thanks, Michael. I appreciate it.
Yeah, are you, what do you think of the plan in general? Are we heading in the right direction?
Okay, let me just say this, that the problem with this whole repeal and replace business is the question in my mind is, replace Obamacare with what? What exactly are we going to replace it with? I'm all for repealing Obamacare. I think it's a horrible law. pardon me. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's doing what it was supposed to do. Certainly, it hasn't made health care any more affordable. It's just pandering to the health insurance companies. So I'm all for repealing it in its entirety, really. But the reality is, what are we going to replace it with?
Well, it appears, though, we're basically moving the issue to the states. Is that the general move here?
Well, I let me say this. I know what people mean when they say replace. The pressure is on the Republicans to replace this health insurance with the good old days, where you had a $5 copay and a $100 deductible, and it all cost you $1,000 a year in premiums. My point is, that's never coming back. It's not up to the Republicans or the Democrats or any political party to make that happen again. The only thing that's going to bring health insurance premiums down, and you and I have discussed this before, is to have a truly free market in health insurance. And the only way that's going to happen is if we get rid of a bunch of governmental laws and regulations that help prop up that health insurance industry, that help keep it where it is.
Give me an example, Dr. Wade Casey. What are some of the regulations that are really stifling and things?
Okay, first one I'm not sure of. Rand Paul was on TV a few weeks ago, and he said he was trying to convince his colleagues in the Congress or in the Senate to go along with him on some kind of action that would allow people like you and me, Michael, to sit around and form our own group and then go and negotiate with health insurance companies. And I heard this, and it shocked me. I was like, wait a minute, you mean we can't already do that? Michael Cohen and I can't go and negotiate a deal with a health insurance company as a group? We can't do that? Well, then let's repeal that law or that regulation, because that's un-American for us to not be allowed to do that, to interface with a health insurance company. Okay. But the big one that everybody doesn't know about, but they do know about, is the one that makes it so that your health insurance company gets to tell you who your doctor is. The law that established networks, the most evil of them all, in my opinion, is the HMO Act, the Health Maintenance Organization Act of 1973.
How did that come about, that they can dictate who the doctors are for us?
Well, the reality is they can't. Okay, I have a new book that I've come out with. It's called Healthcareonomics 101. It's a collection of little snippets. And one of the snippets in there is, you wouldn't let the health insurance company pick what goes on your pizza tonight. Mm-hmm. So why do you let them pick your doctor for you?
What's the choice, though? If you have health insurance, they give you the list. What are you supposed to do?
Well, you can see any doctor you want to if you're paying for it. The health insurance companies, when they deny an MRI, they're not saying you can't have the MRI. What they're saying is they're not going to pay for that MRI. But here's the rub, Michael. If you've got a $5,000, $6,000, $10,000, $12,000 deductible, you're paying for it anyway. Mm-hmm. So the question becomes, do you want to pay the insurance price for an MRI, which is in the thousands of dollars? Or my patients here in Texas, I routinely get them MRIs at imaging centers for $350. Cash, out of pocket.
So, but in terms of not addressing these kinds of regulations, what part of the issue is that they're trying to get this through the Senate, and apparently dealing with regulations in the legislation would be an issue to doing that. Well, how do you imagine that being able to be done with Democrats, you know, opposing it straight out?
Well, hopefully the Senate shoots this thing down. I'm against this legislation. I really am, and I don't think it's a good idea. It panders to the health insurance companies. It continues billions of dollars.
That leaves us with the Affordable Care Act then, right?
Well, it would, but again, if they could just repeal, you know, the best law was Mo Brooks, the guy out of, I believe, Alabama, the representative. He passed proposed a bill, and it just was a one-liner. It said, let's repeal Obamacare in its entirety. And again, I hate to sound cruel. That sounds like, you know, you're stripping health insurance away from millions of people. Well, what we need is a free market in health insurance, and the only way that's going to happen is to get rid of all these laws and regulations.
So what about these pre-existing conditions? If we really did have a purely free market, where does that leave folks?
Well, again, Rand Paul had it best. He said, look, people with pre-existing conditions, I'm all for a fund. I'd even pay taxes into a fund to pay for health care for those people. But the problem is we're paying for health insurance for pre-existing conditions. And here's the rub. I have pre-existing conditions, Michael. I have asthma. I have high blood pressure and high cholesterol. My high blood pressure and high cholesterol medicines cost me literally $80 a year. At the local $4 list pharmacy. They cost me $80 a year to treat my two conditions, high blood pressure and high cholesterol. That's a pre-existing condition. Now, if you've got something genetic that requires horrible, you know, outrageously expensive drugs, then I'm all for the government helping those people out. And they do in many cases. They help them out through disability programs. But here's the thing. The congressmen, the politicians, the health insurance industry, everybody that espouses this rhetoric about pre-existing conditions, they basically get to hold the whole country hostage over the unfortunate needs of a relatively small statistical sample of the population with things like ankylosing spondylitis or you know, genetic disorders and things like that. So. Mm-hmm. It's all a game. It's all rhetoric. And the pre-existing conditions, 90% of people who have pre-existing conditions, these conditions are affordably treated throughout the year. You don't need health insurance. Yeah.
So who's the big winner? If this plan does get through the Senate in its general outline as it stands now, who really benefits from it?
Well, the politicians, first of all, because they don't have to, they don't look as though they're, you know, stripping health care away. I mean, I saw an ad, a headline yesterday about they just sentenced 2.1 million Americans to death. What rhetoric? I mean, that's propaganda. But the bottom line is the politicians get to look good because they dodged a bullet on that one again. They don't strip people of their health insurance, which they call it health care. But secondly, the health insurance companies are making out like banshees through these things.
And are they resistant to seeing these regulations being taken down? Does that change things for them then?
Well, one of the snippets in my book is the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, was the best health insurance legislation money could buy. The American Health Care Act, the latest one through the Republicans, the best health insurance legislation that money couldn't buy. But looks like I may need to change that line in my book.
So they basically would do even better. But what I'm hearing, too, from the other side is that the health care industry right now is in massive debt. In fact, we just talked about it earlier this week that many of the healthcare companies are facing huge debts, and the federal government owes them hundreds of millions of dollars. Is that
now you're talking about health insurance companies or healthcare companies?
Many of the healthcare companies specifically.
Healthcare companies. Well, I would say when you're charging $12 for an aspirin tablet, there's some very funny money accounting that can go on there, and I would question how much debt they're really in when you're basing that debt, you know, on the charges rather than your true cost of doing business. But the other thing is, I would say that the healthcare bubble is going to burst at some point. It's going to burst, and when it does, it's going to make the housing bubble look silly. Really.
So the healthcare bubble burst, what does that do to this entire conversation about this particular plan? Where does that leave us?
Well, in my opinion, here's the reality. If you have a high deductible health insurance plan, then you have to pay for your health care. I mean, period. Your health insurance company no longer does. So you got to go and become a consumer. You need to start shopping for best deals and looking for the prices and insisting on good pricing, etc. That will bring health care prices down. That's the solution for the overpriced health care. The solution for the overpriced health insurance is twofold. Number one, don't overinsure yourself. In other words, you can spend thousands on having health insurance now that you'll almost never get to use because of your high deductible, or, as I say in my first book, you can spend thousands more to get the illusion of better coverage. But The second part of that, and the most important part of bringing health insurance premiums down, is going to be for the legislature to do what I said initially, and that is don't stop repealing. Keep on repealing laws and regulations that prohibit health insurance companies from acting like car insurance companies or homeowners insurance companies.
Right.
I see really no difference in those three companies, except that health insurance enjoys the protection, big protection, of the federal government at that level, and it's able to do things that no other industry in the country can do. And once that happens, it's going to be better for everybody in the long run.
Dr. Kevin Wade Casey right here on WILS. So find him at healthcareonomics.com, healthcareonomics.com. Dr. Wade Casey, thank you very much.
Thank you.